Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And tonight is a guest night, so no co-host here tonight. No Chris O'Shea, no Graham Ewing, no Mikey McCarthy, nobody, just little me. But I have a great guest tonight, so it should be an interesting show tonight. We're going to be talking about family law. Now, that's the new, I guess, nice way of calling it. You know, it's technically divorce law, you know, so, but it's now called family law because there's lots of other issues other than just divorce that's dealing with the family, like the children and child support and paternity, you know, or, you know, who's the biological father and adoption, you know, and things of that sort, which is becoming more and more complicated as you have same-sex marriages and so forth and all the issues that go into these areas of the family and family law. And my friend Farrier Stillman is with us tonight, and we're going to take questions. So if you want to call in and ask a question on family law, divorce, or child support, or adoption, or something of that sort that you know, is going on in your family, and you want Farrier's advice on, you know, what could be, you know, what should I be thinking about, and so forth. She'd be more than happy to help you on that. So if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask Farrier a question on family law, as we refer to it. And let me just bring Farrier on. Farrier, you're there.
I am. Thank you for having me.
Always great to have you. You know, this is a topic that is important, and it happens all too often that people divorce or they have children, and those children's needs have to be addressed. And you know, so it's a very complicated area, and that's why attorneys like you specialize in it.
That's true.
Yeah. And we're going to take callers, if there are any callers out there, family law and so forth. So are there any new issues going on in family law, Farrier, that we should be familiar with?
Yes. So it used to be extremely difficult for someone to get custody or visitation of a child that they weren't the biological or adoptive parents of, like grandparents or other relatives. Or somebody, you know, a step-parent or somebody in a long-term relationship with the parent. But the law has gotten better. It is now somewhat easier, still difficult, but somewhat easier for a non-parent to get custody or visitation of children.
I bet you a lot of grandparents like to hear that, and so that would be a great topic. If you're a grandparent out there and you have a grandchild that you've not been able to see because of a divorce, you know, Farrier could give you some insight on that, 410-922-6680. But let's go first to Gary in Columbia. Gary, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about husband and wife, and it relates to kind of divorce but not divorce. Here's the situation. They've been married for a number of years. The husband is showing signs of dementia, and as a result, he's very controlling in the house. For example, during the summer, he will not allow air conditioner to be turned on, and in the winter, he will not allow the heat to be turned on.
That sounds like a problem.
So my question is, legally, it's not for me, but legally, what can the wife do in a situation like that?
Farrier?
Well, she doesn't have any legal right to the air conditioning or the heat any more than he does. Her options are, she could separate from him. she could try to get him into a nursing home or memory care unit, or she could try, if she doesn't have power of attorney, she could try to get a guardianship over him.
So are there any doctors that have diagnosed him with dementia or Alzheimer's or anything of that sort?
No, unfortunately, he's a veteran, and he goes to the veteran hospitals, and because of HIPAA equivalency in the Veterans Administration, they will not tell the wife anything about his medical situation because he won't give her power of attorney or he won't give her medical power of attorney.
He won't give her an advance directive.
No.
Hmm.
No.
Sounds like, you know, kind of stymie there, right, Ferry?
Yes. And she doesn't want a divorce, and she doesn't want to separate, and she doesn't want to get, you know, conservancy or whatever that is.
Guardianship. Well, go ahead, Ferry.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there aren't any other choices. I mean, the law doesn't provide rights or obligations to married people living together the way it does to people who are separated or divorced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think her best option would be to maybe not divorce, but to separate if it's during the periods of time when it becomes really difficult due to no heat or no air conditioning.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting situation. They live in Pennsylvania, and there's something called a 302 plan in Pennsylvania for mentally ill people, that if two people agree that some person is kind of mentally ill, they can be sent to a hospital. And the hospital then will make a determination whether that's true or not. And if it is, in this case, they will send him to the Veterans Administration, but only for 20 days. Now, this is Pennsylvania. I don't know if Maryland has situations like that or not. But
anything like that, Farrier?
No. In Maryland, the only way that someone can be held and forced to be evaluated psychologically is if they're a danger to themselves or others.
Yeah. All right, Gary, we got to run. Good question.
Well, thank
interesting.
You. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Very interesting. So, Ferrier, you're going to have to hold on for me. We're going to take our first pause with traffic. But any other, we have a caller online, but there's plenty of lines open, 410-922-6680. If you want to talk about family law issues with Ferrier Stillman, one of my favorite people, when I have family law issues with my clients, she's one of the people we're going to go to. So this is your opportunity to call in 410-922-6680. Right now, I got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. I've got Ferrier Stillman with me. She's a family law attorney with Tidings and Rosenberg, downtown Baltimore. And this is family laws dealing with divorce and child support and, you know, guardianship. That's a possibility. You know, we just, Ferrier was explaining earlier how grandparents now have some rights to, you know, see their grandchildren, which wasn't always the case in the past. And if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. There are at least three lines open because I'm going to go to Robert in a second. If you want to call in, ask a question, now's the time to do it before the lines start filling up more. Robert in Towson, how can we help you?
Good evening. I got a 5-year-old granddaughter, and I got some extra change, some extra money that she is likely to need. She's handicapped. She's going to need some mental and physical support, no doubt, as she goes forward right now. Not so much yet, but it will clearly need to be. What can we do? Can you please discuss different ways we can provide now, start to put away financial support so that she'll have it, you know, when she's 20, 30, 40 years old, both for me and...
How old is she right now, Robert?
Five,
okay. Farrier?
Well, so a couple things. I'm not an estate and trust lawyer, which that falls into, so I'm going to give you my best answer, but I suggest that you consult with an estate and trust lawyer. What people typically do in that situation is set up a special needs trust that you can keep contributing to. So basically, you'd have somebody who was the trustee who would give money for your granddaughter's medical care as she needs it.
Yep. That is correct, Robert. A special needs trust would be a great way to go, and you'd want a standalone special needs trust now. And there's also now the new 529 ABLE account, but there are negatives and positives to the 529 ABLE account. That's for disabled children. They can have up to $100,000 growing tax-free for them. No more than $100,000, but all the money it makes is tax-free as long as it's used for that disabled child over their lifetime. And so that's another great option that's available. And you'd want to talk to somebody like Mary O'Byrne. Do you know Mary O'Byrne, Farrier?
Yes, she's very good.
She's excellent in this area. So that would be somebody you could talk to. That's O'Byrne, O-B-Y-R-N-E, if you want to talk to somebody about special needs. She's one of the best I know.
Well, thank you. The 529 would need to be for education purposes. Is that right?
No. This is 529 ABLE account. It's a new thing, totally different for disabled children.
Not necessarily only education expenses.
It can be used for anything for the disabled child, 100% tax-free as the money grows. So talk to Mary O'Byrne. She can explain all the negatives and positives to the Special Needs Trust versus the 529 ABLE account. All right?
Thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care. Yeah, that's a difficult issue, you know, that parents that are dealing with that and or grandparents that are dealing with that. And the key that Robert has to be sure that he never leaves any money to that child, you know, and that can, you might try, but you can make a mistake to leave the money to the child.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that he needs to avoid that by consulting with an estate trust lawyer and then consulting with, you know, an excellent financial expert like you.
There you go. Good line, Farrier. I appreciate that. Well, we don't have any callers online, but let me ask some of the questions that I have for you. So, you know, what I'm finding more and more is that when parents are working with us for estate planning, they're very, very interested in making sure that whatever inheritance they leave their children doesn't get swallowed up in a bad marriage situation. So if you had a client in front of you, I know you're not an estate trust lawyer, but you're a divorce specialist and so forth, family law specialist, what would you be telling them to do to make sure that that asset would not become a marital asset?
Well, they want to, first of all, only give it to their child, not the spouse, and tell the child that it needs to go into a separate account, only that money in the account, only in that child's name, and not to put any other money into the account. Also, I think they should try to get their child to enter into a prenuptial agreement that confirms that the child spouse is not going to make a claim on that money.
What about a postnuptial if you didn't do a prenuptial and the child's already married?
Absolutely. Postnuptial would solve that problem, too.
So postnuptial is you're already married, but you're expecting an inheritance in a few years, and you say, you know, I want you to sign off on this, that this is. What about if parents leaving it into a trust for that child, and would that protect it?
Yes, as long as the trust was set up, you know, specifically and very well by an estate trust attorney, and as long as the child didn't somehow commingle that money. Like, let's say the trust gives the child $100,000, then that child needs to keep that money in an account just in his or her name, not take that $100,000 and mix it up with other money.
Right. So we have Jim on the line. Let's go see what Jim in Ellicott City. Jim, what can we do for you?
Yes, it's a question on alimony in a divorce. If a person finally walked out and said, I had enough, a female, about 20 years in marriage. At any rate, she went to the court on her own. And when the question came up about alimony, she just said, no, I don't want any alimony. And she signed off to the court on it. My question is, if the divorce is not finalized, can she go back to the court and petition to change that?
Probably not, but it depends on what she signed. If she signed a valid marital settlement agreement, it's unlikely that she could change that. If, on the other hand, she made the court aware that she didn't want alimony in some other way, like saying it in a pleading, that typically could be changed, depending on the court and the situation.
Yeah, the only feedback I had on that was that while she was in court, and I guess that came up, that other people tell me she signed off on it. So whether or not that would be what you were mentioning, or whether a verbal statement, obviously you could change that, it would seem to me. But she signed off something.
It depends. If she made the verbal statement in court during a hearing or trial, especially under oath, that's just as strong as if she signed an agreement to that effect.
All right, Jim?
Okay, sir. Thank you.
All right, my friend. We're here with Farrier Stillman. She's a family law specialist that's dealing with child support, divorce, guardianship, all types of different issues that deal with the family relationship. And if you have a question, we're open to calls tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Farrier, we only have about 30 seconds, but when we come back, we should talk about the big change with alimony, as Jim was talking about, that took place a couple years ago, where alimony went from being taxable and tax deductible to the person that was paying the alimony to tax free to the recipient and not tax deductible. That's a big change.
It is. And actually, when you asked me about big changes, I wasn't even thinking that because it's been in place for nearly a year. But yes, that is a big change we'd be glad to talk about.
Yeah, it's about a year and a half now into this new law, and you could give us some ideas of how's that changing the dynamic of the situation. But right now, I've got to take a traffic pause, but in the interim, I have no one online. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you've got a question on family law, divorce, child support, alimony, and all those kind of different things. Call now, 410-922-6680. Right now, I got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Farrier Stillman. She's an attorney with Tiding Rosenberg in Baltimore, and she's a family law attorney, and that deals with divorce, alimony, child support, guardianship, grandparents' rights, and seeing their grandchildren. That's been a big issue. And we've got Charlie on the line, but if you want to call in, there's two or three lines open, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask Farrier a question, 410-922-6680. I'm going to Charlie in Charles Village. Was Charles Village named after you, Charlie?
No, it was named after King Charles I of England.
Okay, close enough.
I think. Good evening, folks. So I have two questions. One is, I like to see my grandchildren, one of whom has met me and the other hasn't in New York. I'm wondering if there are any grandparents of rights, any place. I think they come down here and visit once in a while. My ex-wife is at the bottom of this, since my daughter herself doesn't know me very much. And I'm wondering, secondly, about if the doctrine of parental alienation syndrome has been developed in tort claim court, if there are any grounds to show a long-term pattern of the poisoning of the relationship.
Is there anything he can do, Farrier?
Well, I think in New York State, I think you'd want to consult with an experienced New York family law attorney. In terms of parental alienation, it is a psychological term. Sometimes courts find that it's happened, but typically only when you're talking about custody of the child, not necessarily the grandchild. It could happen, but it typically is between parents and children, not grandparents and grandchildren.
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, Charlie, your grandchildren are in New York, and Maryland law would be the only thing. There's nothing in Maryland law that can go to force New York to abide by anything that's happening in Maryland. And that's what Farrier's saying. You need to talk to a New York attorney on these issues if the grandchildren live there.
I see a form on the New York Supreme Bench website that allows me to petition for visitation. I'm wondering if any states that we know of have a law that permits grandparents to exercise the prerogative to demand visitation, because we have a really presumptive interest in the as default parents.
All right, Farrier?
Pardon?
Well, it doesn't really matter what any other state does. New York law would apply, so you'd have to comply with New York law and talk to somebody, you know, a New York family law attorney who could advise you on seeking visitation with your grandchild.
Right. Charlie, I got to run. I got to go to Julie in Dundalk. Julie, how can I help you?
Yes, sir. I had a question about grandparents' rights.
Uh-huh.
I was told that Maryland does have grandparents' rights laws, but the judges in Maryland are not very good at honoring them.
Farrier?
Well, in my experience, judges do try really hard to follow the law, but the law isn't black and white. There is case law that sets out a number of factors that the court has to consider when a grandparent is asking for custody or visitation. So it's, unfortunately, it's not really black and white, as if someone can tell you, oh, you've got rights, or oh, you don't.
Does that answer your question, Julie?
Not really. I did a phone consultation with a family law attorney, and he told me that, yes, Maryland does have grandparents' rights laws, but it would take me a lot of money and about a year to get it through the court system, and that there is absolutely no guarantee that a judge is going to grant visitation.
Okay. Well, Farrier, you know, works with this all the time, and she says that, you know, they will honor it if they feel that it's something that they're going to give. So, you know, I don't know what else you could tell her, Farrier.
Again, I mean, there isn't a specific law on the subject. It's fact-based, and, you know, my advice is consult either go with the lawyer you talk to or consult another experienced family law attorney.
Yeah, I think that's great advice there. So we have Farrier Stillman with us, family law. We've talked grandparents' rights, you know, child custody, child support, alimony, divorce law, all these different things, prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements. These are all the kinds of things that a family law attorney does. If you have a question on that, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to call in and ask a question. You know, Farrier, we talked about this before the break, this new, the way alimony is being treated now. It used to be before, usually in a divorce, you have a high earner and a lower earner. And when the divorce takes place, the higher earner normally would give the lower earner income and alimony. It might have been for life, or it could have been just for a short period of time for them to get on their feet. And in the past, it was deductible to the high earner, taxable to the low earner, but they flipped this in the income tax law starting 2018. It's now tax-free to the recipient and tax. There's no tax deduction to the one paying it, just like child support. Why do you think they did it, and what's happening now in alimony discussions in a divorce situation?
So I think it was done to make the big change in the tax law, the 2018 change in the tax law, to find sources of revenue for the government. That's why, or to reduce the, to find more sources of revenue for the government. It has frankly made cases harder to settle. It used to be that you could negotiate and maybe the breadwinner paid a little more alimony, so he or she got to pay less child support because they got the tax deduction on the alimony. But now that tool isn't available anymore.
Right. So, you know, when you said raise more revenue, a lot of our listeners might not know why that would happen. So you got somebody in the maximum tax bracket. Let's just call it 40 for the sake of our discussion, 40% tax bracket. And they take $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 of their income and give it off to a lower earner who really doesn't have hardly any income. And all of a sudden, they're paying, you know, an average of 20%, 22% tax bracket. And so it was a bonanza for the guy, you know, at the 40%. He gets a full deduction for that. And the 20, 22% has to pay taxes on it. And now you flip it around, he still has to pay taxes on that whole $100,000 at 40%. You could see how the government would raise more revenue with that.
Exactly.
You know, but I can understand how it would make the discussion a lot more complicated, you know, when you're dealing with a divorce proceeding, trying to come up with an alimony number.
Yes, it is more difficult. And, you know, it's federal law, so it applies to everyone.
Yeah. All right. So when we come back, I want to talk about child support. And that's pretty much just mandated by the courts. You know, there's no real discussion going on there anymore. But you can tell us more about that when we come back. But if anybody wants to get online, 410-922-6680. It's the last quarter of the show. If you want to call in and ask your question, now's the time to do it. 410-922-6680. Right now, I've got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Throwing me a softball. Beatles, Let It Be. How do you like that? See, I know them all. I just like to toy with you there, Chris. You know? Anyway, we're here with Farrier Stillman, and she's a family law attorney. I keep calling it Tidings Rosenberg. I should ask you, because your law firms, you change your name so often, I might not be current with the name of your law firm. What is it?
No, you're right. It's Tidings and Rosenberg.
Yeah, and so tell everybody how they can get in touch with you if they do have their own family law issue and they want to get in touch with you.
They can call me at 410-752-9731.
Now, you always have to say that twice, Farrier, and also I would recommend giving them a simple way of looking you up on the web, too.
Okay, the number is 410-752-9731, and they can just Google Tidings and Rosenberg or go to our website, which is tidingslaw.com.
Tidingslaw.com. And Farrier Stillman, that's not a common lawyer name, so you could probably just Google search Farrier Stillman. And so tell everyone how to spell Farrier, and Stillman's pretty straightforward, S-T-I-L-L-M-A-N, right?
Yes, and thank you. It's F as in friend, E-R-R-I-E-R.
Farrier Stillman, and lawyer, Baltimore, Maryland. That'll also get you right to her and get the information. So tidingslaw.com is another way. Google search Tidings and Rosenberg Law Firm. That's a good way to do it. And or you can use the number she gave you a second ago, which I don't remember. I should have written it down. But we'll get back to that later. Right now, we're going to go to Glenn in Chestertown. And you want to talk about grandparents' visitation. How can we help you, Glenn?
I haven't seen my two granddaughters. Now they're 14 and 12. They were 12 and 10 when the last time I saw them.
And, they live in Maryland?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
And not too far away.
Is this an issue that your own child and their spouse won't let you see them, or is this something where your child and spouse divorce?
Yeah, there's my child and spouse. Well, they were apart for a long time, but this case, don't have nothing to do really with my child or her spouse or former spouse. And they stay with their grandmother on their dad's side.
Okay.
So
did your child get to see him?
Hasn't. For a while, actually for a few years, because my child was away down to Florida for a while, and she's back up this way now, but I don't even think she's had much communication with him.
Okay, Farrier, what can he do?
Well, I think that you can, my advice is, my suggestion is that you consult with an experienced family law attorney in your area in Maryland, so in your case in Kent County, and find out if you have a good case for trying to get some visitation with your grandchildren, and then that lawyer will tell you how you go about it.
Are the children live in the same county as you, or are they somewhere else in Maryland?
They're in Cecil County.
They're in Cecil County. So should he still consult with a Kent County attorney or go to Cecil County?
I think either one for the initial consultation. I'd say anybody on sort of the eastern shore, including Cecil County, the eastern part of the state.
Right. Yeah. What about his own child? Should it, do you have a good relationship with your daughter?
Yes.
Okay. So
she has nothing to do with it. It's their granddaughter.
I understand, but your daughter, her daughter.
My daughter's not with them.
Well, I understand, but it's your daughter's child, right?
Yeah, well, it's two of them, two jobs.
So, Farrier, if he's got a good relationship with his child, wouldn't it even be more powerful to go with the daughter and, because the daughter gets visitation rights, he can just go with her, couldn't he?
Yes. I mean,
she hadn't
always... have more rights than grandparents. So if he can piggyback on his daughter's rights to see her children, that would give him more of a chance, in theory. I mean, I can't talk about his specific case, but
when the divorce took place, Glenn, did they deny your daughter visitations fully for some reason? Glenn?
See, my granddaughters live with their grandmother.
That's not the issue. The issue is if your daughter.
My daughter actually finally got her divorce. This was long afterwards. It actually hadn't been. It's only probably been about a year or something like that or so since she actually got divorced. But see, that doesn't really have anything to do with the situation.
All right. All right. Well, good, Glenn. I hope that helped you. You have rights as a grandparent now.
Yeah.
All right?
No, a friend had told me before I had rights. I should go see some lawyer or something.
All right.
I'd like to get something going, but it's just that the financial part is very slim for me anymore. So.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's not inexpensive to hire an attorney to fight this, is it, Farrier?
No, it's not.
But, I didn't understand with Glenn how, the daughter would be the easiest one to approach this. Doesn't sound like the daughter gave up her maternal rights to the child. Just because the maternal or the paternal grandparents have the child, it doesn't give them the right to deny the mother visitation.
Well, it all depends if there's a court order and what it says.
Yeah.
But typically, a parent would have more rights than a grandparent.
Yeah. He didn't give us any understanding that there was something like that. But anyway, there's a lot of things going on there, I think. So anyway, what other things are happening in the world of family law and Farrier Stillman? Anything else that our listeners should know before we have to wrap up in about a minute?
There's some changes to the way child support is being calculated. That is the way that health care expenses are interrelated with child support. So it's important that you tell your lawyer all of your health care expenses that you have for your child so that can be taken into account when calculating child support.
So nowadays, it's not like you negotiate child support. It's just they come in, they say, how much do you make? How much do you make? And even if you don't make a lot, they can imply that you could make a lot. Just because you're not working doesn't mean that, that they're going to just say, okay, you're zero, and so forth. So it's pretty straightforward nowadays for child support, isn't it?
It is for people who fall within the child support guidelines. But if the combined incomes of the parties is above $180,000 a year, then the guidelines don't apply and it can be more complex.
Ah, there you go. You got that one a little extra negotiating going on there. How about one of the things I find a lot, Farrier, and we only got about a half a minute, is when the child turns 18, ready to go to college, I find that most parents don't have any guideline as to how they're going to pay for college. Divorced parents.
Well, there's no law requiring parents to pay for kids' college, so unless they agree to it, you can't force someone else to help contribute to college.
Yeah, but the FAFSA says, hey, his income counts. I don't care if he's going to participate or not.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's a dilemma, this is what you're saying.
Yes, it is a dilemma.
So this Farrier Stillman, you could just Google search her name, Tidings and Rosenberg Law Firm. Google search that. You can find her. And we really appreciate you being with us tonight, Farrier.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. We'll look forward to the next time. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better.